Can't See Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. And Specs, how about them savings from Specs, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Howdy, sir.
Let's go. Let's get it going.
All right. So that seemed to be the theme of the day during the joint practice as well. Were you familiar with the wrestler Scott Steiner before you saw his son suplex Jalen Thompson?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Were you familiar with the wrestler Scott Steiner before you saw him suplex
his Jalen son Thompson? Yeah. Suplex Jalen Thompson.
I did not know that.
That is fair.
Wait, before we go any further, what are the rules on the S word?
Suplex?
No, don't say that word.
Okay. Can I say S word?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
You
can say S word all the time.
Exactly.
Okay. I didn't want to get you guys or myself in trouble.
Oh, Shoddy said the S word a lot yesterday, right?
Yes, he did. And then when he walked off, somebody repeated it, and then he spelled it for us.
Oh.
You know how to spell it?
Yeah, I know how to spell most words. I know how to spell most words.
So give us some insight then. I mean, that's pretty good insight right there about how he felt about maybe all the fights or maybe just specifically Ezeraku.
Well, look, he wasn't the only person out
there
that threw punches, okay? I saw Reddy Stewart throw a right, a left, a right, and a left, right? But there was such a melee going on, it was hard to pick out who was doing what. And as he pointed out, the Cowboys weren't the only culprit here.
For sure.
And what happened, as a matter of fact, it started with the Saints. When it was early in the first team portion of practice, Javonte Williams was running the ball. He turned the corner, probably gained about 5 or 10 yards, and he was ready to go out of bounds. And the Saints just flung him out of bounds like a full tackle. And the offensive lineman, rightly so, said, "Hey, you don't mess with my guy." And it started, and both sidelines emptied. And then it was basically one of those baseball brawls where everybody runs out and does a lot of pushing. But there was a couple over on the defensive side that things got pretty heated. And you know what? I know he said he was disappointed. He said it was sloppy. He didn't like all the fighting. But I'm guessing when he went to bed last night, he was gritting his teeth and go, "Darn right, we're not taking nothing from nobody." And I don't blame them. As bad as this defense was last year, these guys didn't back down. If the Saints wanted to go, they went. And to me, it's a good thing. Now, you don't want to get thrown out of a game. I get it. And for Ezeraku, it was the second time, right?
Yeah.
Once with his own guys and then in this one. But you know what? Charles Haley didn't back down from anybody, and that was part of his deal. People were scared to play against him because he would do anything possible to win at the snap of the ball. So, to me, I thought it was a good thing. I like them stepping up to support their own guys and make sure that some team doesn't come in here named the Saints, not acting unsaintly.
You know,
don't let them come marching in.
That's right. Since you mentioned the fights and kind of the similarity to baseball brawl, I meant to ask you this. Did you see that Cubs and White Sox fan fight in the bleachers at Wrigley?
No, I did not.
Holy moly. Just type
I need to go look that up.
Yeah, Cubs White Sox fan fight. You'll find it straight away.
How'd the Southsider do?
The Southsiders, there was multiple of them. They ended up victorious.
Okay, good. But they lost the baseball game.
Yeah, and there was a couple points where I was like, I think you proved your point. This is going too far. So take a look at it. Let me know what you think about that. All right, you mentioned Reddy Stewart as well. How do you think Reddy Stewart looked yesterday, and does he continue to show some versatility in terms of he could be useful for you as a safety in addition to a cornerback?
Yes, and he's been doing that here quite a bit lately. It started when they had some injuries at safety. Jalen Thompson was out. Childress, and so they needed some safety help, so they started moving them to safety. So again, slot corner, safety, special teams. He will play special teams for you, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is as poorly as the Cowboys played on special teams when they construct this first 53-man roster, I think some consideration has to be given to guys that maybe aren't starters or initial backups, but they're special team dudes, and they need some of these guys on the roster.
How far away is Von Miller in the ramp-up process? Like, how far does he feel like he needs?
Yeah, I would think, you know, they'll work him out. And they know what he's been doing, right? B.T. Jordan, he'd been the Cowboys' consultant. He had been working out with him, so they knew where he was all along. He went through the stretch yesterday before the scrimmage. I think he did maybe a few individual drills, not too much. He won't practice. He'll ramp up tomorrow, and then you travel. He's not going to play in the game. And then when they get back to Dallas, they'll be able to test and see, you know, just how much he might be able to do in those first couple practices back at the Star. But when he finished his press conference yesterday, the first person he talked to was Britt Brown, and I'm sure Britt and him talked in like, okay, here's the plan, here's how we're gonna get you ready. He doesn't need to, you know, be ready until September 13th.
How far is Von Miller from getting Hunter Lipke's number?
If Lipke likes chicken, he may be right there by it, right?
Yeah.
He offered him a lifetime supply of chicken.
Because he has
you pass that up?
Hell no, chicken's delicious.
He runs a chicken farm, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's Greener Pastures chicken.
So last time we failed you on this, Mickey, because we didn't ask about Dustin Hoffman. So I need to know this go around. Movie producer Jerry Bruckheimer was a visitor yesterday. Do you have a favorite Jerry Bruckheimer movie? Because he's worth $1 billion.
Yeah, I can't help you on that one.
Mm. All right.
I could tell you Drew Brees was here.
Oh. Drew Brees is hanging out too, yeah.
Okay. Do you want, I'm going to give you some of his filmography to help you out.
Okay.
I just want to let you know.
I'm not a current movie buff, but give me a shot.
Okay. Flashdance, Days of Thunder, The Rock, Con Air, Armageddon, Enemy of the State, Pearl Harbor, Black Hawk Down, Top Gun, Bad Boys, Pirates of the Caribbean, the National Treasure movies. He's done a lot of stuff.
Yes, he has, and I've seen many of those, right?
Okay, great.
Yeah, but I didn't know who produced them.
Well, I'm sure he's okay with that because, like I said, he's now worth $1 billion.
Yeah,
so
he ain't worried about little old me.
Yeah. Or me, yeah.
Billy Zane was also there. I saw Nate post a picture with him. Do you know who Billy Zane is?
I've heard the name.
There you go.
He was the mean fiancé in Titanic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And in the terrible movie The Phantom. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's pretty awful.
Michael Irvin was here.
Okay, see, now we're talking. I saw Michael Irvin pick up a kid from the other side of the fence and like let him walk around with him for a minute.
Right.
And I was just like, it's got to be kind of awesome when Michael Irvin walks around at kids.
Yes.
Just because he is that personality that he is.
Sean Lee was here.
See, that's another one that he's sitting there going, how many analytics can I talk about right now?
Matt Vanderbeek.
Ooh.
That one goes right by you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Mickey.
Special teams ace.
Was he
ended up getting a signed as a free agent, I think maybe by Washington, because he had played so well on special teams.
Look at that.
And he lives in the area.
Okay.
Any other ones?
I'm trying to go through.
I mean, you've already gotten
the
Matt
guys
Vanderbeek,
I've seen. Yeah. James Washington was here Monday.
I love James Washington, dude. We had him on a couple of years ago. He's great, man. He's fantastic.
All right. Anything else, whether it's risers or fallers coming out of joint practice? Look, I don't want to make it sound like we're trying to beat up on this guy, but feels like it was maybe kind of underwhelming for Nate Thomas again, was it not?
Well, they moved him.
Right.
We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They went from left tackle to right tackle. Shelton still was at left tackle on the second team. Yeah, he needs to pick it up. And here's the concern: if it's not him, who's your backup swing tackle?
Yeah, we were talking about that. I don't know.
Right, and I don't know that, you know. Now Shelton at least went back and played left tackle, and that's where he played at Penn State. But that's asking a lot for a rookie to be your backup swing tackle, right?
Especially at a time when I feel like people and the fan base, I don't know, the organization, I don't know how you totally feel about it, maybe aren't thrilled about your actual starting tackles.
Well, if they can keep Tyler Guyton healthy, right, that would be a start. And then Terrence Steele, you know, he needs to be a little bit more consistent. So I looked at the list of still available free agent tackles, but, boy, they're all 30-something years old, and, you know, no one's touching them. Now, do you want to bring one of those guys in as your backup swing tackle? But there's not a lot of choices, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because in the NFL, as we know, there's not enough talented offensive linemen to basically supply your first team offensive line,
yeah,
let alone a backup, right? So sometimes maybe if you err, you err on experience and just hope that, you know, you stay as healthy as possible. But I think it's something to keep an eye on, especially in this next preseason game when, you know, the second line and the third line are going to be out there playing. And you got to be somewhat concerned at this point going into that game. So that if anybody needs anything to watch, just watch the offensive line. Now, the first line, whatever you think of Guyton, whatever you think of Terrence Steele, they did a pretty darn good job against the Saints. Dak Prescott was on fire. I saw the first thing someone said about Dak Prescott was an interception. Well, he was throwing the ball in the wind, and it got held up, and it was behind the receiver. He threw about two or three deep touchdown passes, and one beauty to George Pickens, who contorted his body, twisted, and caught the ball like going backwards and went to the ground and held on. It was an unbelievable catch. Mingo had a big catch, too. So the offense, I thought, was doing well. Now, Jaden Blue did start the practice. He had a little bit of a shoulder. He had a really good run, about 30 yards, and then they pulled him out of the practice out of precaution, I think.
Well, we appreciate the insight as always. We will catch up with you once more tomorrow.
And I'll be back with a whole lot of S tomorrow.
And watch that fight. Watch that
I will.
Fight.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com.